Whoa.
This is Shannon DiGregorio. I'm sitting at a table in an Irish pub named Hugh O'Neill's in Malden, Massachusetts, with Jim Storr and Rachel Hoppe, the founders of the Community Roundtable. Would you like to take a second and introduce yourselves?
Well, I'd like to just start by saying it's interesting that we're not at a round table.
We are at a square table.
Yeah.
We started the Community Roundtable at a square table. That's kind of profound, isn't it?
It's interesting. Yeah, Hugh O'Neill's in Malden, Massachusetts.
So we are at this specific table because it is the birthplace of the Community Roundtable, which is a little gross sounding, but it was birthed of Guinness, is my understanding.
Required a little bit of beer.
That's true.
So can you tell us sort of the history of how you met and ended up at this table in Hugh O'Neill's 5 years ago?
Sure. So, way back in like 2006, 2007. I was at a company that put on a conference called Community 2.0, and I helped design the schedule, and one of the people that we asked to come speak was Rachel, and I hadn't met her before that, but one of the things that I was doing at the event was doing podcasts and videos with people that were speaking at the event, and so I had scheduled time with Rachel, and we met at our appointed time. I think it was like 10 o'clock or something in the morning, and she shows up, and I asked her if she'd be okay with doing video because I had a new like flip camera or whatever they were back then. And she looked at me, kind of furrowed her brow, and said, "No, thank you." And she'd be okay with a podcast instead. So we went and did a podcast. I've looked for that. I can't find it.
No, I don't even remember what we talked about.
Well, certainly we talked about community, but that was the first time we met, and I mean, you reflect on that conference as one of the kind of watershed moments of community. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I was an analyst at IDC at the time, and I was studying the space and drinking my own Kool-Aid rather quickly in that, you know, my background is in management consulting and technology, so I understood a few different things about how this technology was transforming things. But everyone in the community management space was at that conference, and ironically, what would become the community maturity model, which we use today all over the place, I was actually testing out with a few people at that conference. So in a number of ways, maybe that was really the seed of the community roundtable. We didn't know it at the time, but people that we've had in to speak, that we recommend clients to, they were all there.
Right. I was fortunate enough to actually do a podcast with David Weinberger. Tony Shea from Zappos, Rachel McCool, who at the time, I believe, was at eBay still. But just a great group of people at that event. Great group.
And I remember that was my first exposure to Nancy White, who we just spoke with, caught up with recently. And she kind of blew my mind. So that was probably one of my biggest remembrances from a content perspective of that conference.
So, if the seed was sort of planted at that Community 2.0 show, how did it evolve into sort of the business that is the Community Roundtable, or was the Community Roundtable when you were getting started?
So fast forward, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years, and the company I was at joined a few other companies and became Mazinga. And at one point or another, we were looking for a product director, and Rachel name came up, and she came in and talked to a few of us, and she ended up coming to work with us. And so we met each other in Community 2.0, but we really got to know each other at Mazinga, and we spent a lot of time kind of talking about philosophies on community and community engagement and things like that. And so that was really where we got to know each other.
Yeah, and for my part, that community, that initial draft of the community maturity model, I knew it was bigger than an analyst report. And so I was very hesitant about publishing an IDC report about it because it had the potential to build kind of consulting and knowledge and research off of it that, you know, was more than one report. So I kind of had that in the back of my head, although I'm not sure I ever really articulated or for myself that I wanted to build a community off of it. I just wanted it to be used more broadly.
So then early 2009, Rachel and I had both left Mazinga, and we were trying to figure out next steps, and we kept talking, and I think at one point, you know, we were saying, well, you know, do we want to start like an advisory firm, like a, but it seemed like everyone was launching so these little mom and pop social media agencies at the time. This is early 2009. And so, you know, we were looking to do something a little bit different, and we wanted to get together. And at the time, Rachel lived south of Boston, and I lived north of Boston, and I drove down to her place, and it was impossible to get to. It took me like 5 hours, and then to get home, it took me like a day. So we decided that we couldn't go to one house or the other. It was just didn't work. So we looked for a place in between, and you know, I pulled out the map, or I looked at Google Maps, and really Malden, Mass was the central point, and it was on the T, so that Rachel could come up on the T. And so I came here one day and I walked around Malden, and you know, for those of you who haven't been here, it's a working class, hard, you know, hard scrabble town, and I found Hugh O'Neill's, and it was an Irish pub, and they were advertising free Wi-Fi.
You can't beat free Wi-Fi.
Free Wi-Fi and Guinness, right? So,
and good food.
Good food and quiet at lunchtime. So Rachel and I started coming to Hugh O'Neill's on a regular basis, and we'd sit in the corner and just, you know, work on the business model.
So as the CR exists today, it is a number of things. There is a community for community managers. There are advisory services. There's training. Is that what it looked like in your minds when you sat down here and started to think about it, or has it evolved significantly?
So when I started it, one of the things that I noticed as an analyst is the conversation we were having was up in the clouds about theoretically what should work, would work, what this new technology was enabling to work. But I also knew that the practitioners were at a very different level and really struggling and trying to convince thousands of people that this approach could be a valuable or more valuable approach to the way they approached a business problem. And that was really hard work. And so from my perspective, I wanted to do research and report on what those people who had learned by doing actually knew, because I knew that if we couldn't compound that knowledge, it would limit the potential of the market to grow, because it was clear to me that it was a really important competency. So when I started the business, I was maybe thinking about it a little bit from a research perspective of we need to learn from these people, and we need to bring them together and provide support for them, because they're really isolated. So that's I think more or less the idea that I had. Jim had a little more experience with the business model and brought that to the table.
Right. So I'd worked on networks that were similar to the CR in prior lives. And, you know, to Rachel's point, I had friends in the business who were very isolated. They were trying to weave social and community into Fortune 500 companies' business processes, and they were finding it really difficult because they were asked all the time, so can you give me an example of someone who's done this? And there wasn't that much. I mean, if you were Googling in 2009 for examples of social customer support, you just weren't getting anything. So what we were trying to do was help connect those people, connect the folks that had been there and done that with the folks that were trying to get something started. And so that was kind of why we ended up focusing on the business model we did. I had some expertise in that area. Rachel had a lot of experience as an analyst, kind of getting people to think about complex topics. And so it was a good fit.
So it sounds like you're sort of striking off into unknown territory, both, you know, starting a small business, but also in an emerging discipline. Has there been a sort of aha moment that is like, this is what we were working for? This is the moment that validated it for either of you?
I think there was a lot for me, because I had been working on the theoretical side of things, looking at it from an analyst perspective. And when we started using social marketing approaches, for example, I started getting blown away by what people would comment on. People who weren't our clients were getting a ton of value from us and appreciating that. And you can start seeing it work. And I continue to have those moments, you know, and it's been a hard time coming because communities grow slowly, especially when you're in a very emerging space where behavior is new. We know that. That's what we do. Just recently, I feel like our business has accelerated because we have used a very community network-based business model, grew slowly on the front end, and now we're starting to see some inflection points. And so for me, that's hugely exciting because I drank my own Kool-Aid. I thought this was interesting, but I didn't know. I hadn't really seen it work. And so for me, that's really validating that I jumped into this crazy idea to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I get that aha moment all the time whenever I'm talking with a member and they ask me, you know, about an experience or they're looking for some sort of insight, and we're able to connect them with someone who's already had that experience or already gone through that process. Because those little aha moments that they have where we save them weeks or months of research, that's gratifying. It's really gratifying to see the network doing what we'd hoped it would do 5 years ago when we first started.
I think the other aha more recently for me is we're starting to sell bigger projects, and we'll talk about that, but it doesn't feel like we're selling anybody. It's part of the engagement pyramid. You know, we've got them, they were lurking, they participated, they started creating, then we started collaborating with them, and working with them on bigger projects is just a bigger collaboration. And yes, there are transactions within there, but it's part and parcel of the same relationship. And so that also proves that kind of communities do funnel up into really rich and multifaceted engagements.
Can you talk a little bit about how your services have changed in the last 5 years, if it corresponds with an engagement pyramid, or if it's been super relationship-based, or how are people interacting with the community roundtable?
I think we've evolved based on member need. So, you know, early on we focused on the network. We still, honestly, the network is the core of what we do. We focus on our members. We devote a lot of time to making sure that the programs we create are based on what they need. But beyond that, we started to see members come to us and say, I'm trying to train my team. Or I've got a need to evangelize more within my walls, and so we work with them on, you know, developing a training program. The research that we started in 2010 with the first state of community management has been another area where we've grown a lot, and that came out of a need for industry research that validated what our members were trying to do inside their organizations. So by being able to point to an organization like the Community Roundtable and say, this is what they say we should be doing, it was helping our members kind of evolve their programs. You want to talk about some of, you know, what else we've done?
Well, so I was just going to say one of my huge aha moments was when a big Fortune 500 client took the community maturity model and some of our research, combined it, and built this gap analysis and strategic roadmap. And when I looked at that, I thought, you know, this is exactly what I would do if I was doing consulting work. And really, that member was really able to drive huge budget and resource decisions because of the research and the framework that we provided. But he took that and ran with it and added and extended the value of it. And by doing that, he showed us, in essence, what was possible to do with some of the material we were creating. Another situation, a client took the community maturity model and started using it as a subjective checklist for all of their community programs to kind of judge their performance off of. We've now taken that and extended it back and turned it into quantitative benchmarks. So it's this constant iteration with our clients that's amazing. And because we have this relationship with us, I was remarking recently to somebody, you know, we don't have one contentious relationship with a client, which is amazing to me, given that we have over 90 clients. And that's something I'm very proud of. And also I'm very happy about, because I don't really like that kind of client service provider tension. It's just it doesn't help. And you actually waste a lot of time on terms of service and statements of work that are really locked down, and contracts, because people don't trust each other. And so it allows you to move a lot faster as well.
Whoa.
This has been a Community Roundtable production.